FM, W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Four people have died as Arctic cold grabs hold of much of the country and won't let go. The Midwest is even colder than usual.
Even many longtime residents aren't comfortable with this type of cold.
I work outside every day all day. It's really tough.
It's cold. It's too cold.
And staying warm requires preparation.
Long underwear. Shirt, another shirt, long underwear again, jacket, and another jacket.
Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Eagle River, Wisconsin.
How much will the cold affect turnout at the Iowa caucuses?
The homemade coffee and dining room chairs will be out in Sharon McNutt's home in Silver City, Iowa.
Moving some little things out. The cat's toys will be moved out. We'll just make room to spread out and bake some cookies and make coffee.
The home of the 77-year-old mayor is a dying breed, a public caucus location in a private home. Matt Piper, CBS News, Des Moines.
Hamas has released a video showing three Israeli hostages it's holding in Gaza. The terrorist group urged the Israeli government to stop the offensive against Gaza. The brief video ended with a caption indicating that on Monday, Hamas will reveal the fate of the three hostages. Are we properly observing the legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.?
Dr. Walter Kimbrough wrote an essay for Diverse Issues in Higher Education called King Day 2024 is canceled. The former president of Dillard University, now president in residence at Rutgers University, explains.
I've just watched people, to me, lazily use the same parts of quotes of King.
But he says most people don't delve deeply into King's ideas, much less his dream. Kimbrough says instead of just lighting candles and singing We Shall Overcome.
King Day really has to be much more of an activism type day where you're teaching people about the messages and then you're really getting out there and doing some of the work.
Allison Keys, CBS News.
Researchers are looking for relatively younger people for a medical study.
4,000 millennials are needed by the American Lung Association for a lung study solely for those aged 25 to 35.
So that we can collect measurements of health behaviors, prior medical history that influence one's lung health and how it might change over time.
The study's Dr. Mercedes Carnathon. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
Tensions are increasing between the Biden administration and Texas officials over security on the southern border. The drowning of three migrants who are trying to cross the Rio Grande near the Texas town of Eagle Pass now has the White House demanding that U.S. Border Patrol agents be given full access to an area near the river that's known as Shelby Park. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
WRJN.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one, headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the State Elections Commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won a playoff game in Dallas. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Dobbs on the Packers' young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, wind chill advisory continues, a low of 11 below, and wind chills approaching 25 below. For Monday, still cold, a high near 0 degrees, and wind chills 20 to 30 below. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 2, high near 13 Wednesday. Right now, 4 degrees below.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Friday edition. Snowmageddon all across the upper Midwest, especially here in Wisconsin. My understanding, about 5 more inches overnight, so we're not done yet. And this show ain't done yet, Dom. We're sliding into a Friday happy hour, perhaps time for airing of the grievances. But first, we got a fine guest. He joins us live via candlelight. We got some candlelight cannoli going on. We got Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of the Morning Cannoli on Saturday mornings right here on Civic Media 9 to 11. At least you'd have some ambient light by them, Jim. You're amongst those without power in the Milwaukee area, apparently.
I am, and nothing in the nature of weather in Wisconsin would keep me from accepting your wonderful invitation to be a part of this show. So snow, sleet, wind, all of that, I'm here.
Bring it.
Thank you, Jim.
Bring it, sis, Jim. Jim, got a hypothetical for you, counselor. If a president called up SEAL Team 6 and asked them to kill his political opponent, would you feel like that president would be and should be immune from prosecution, Jim? And just so you know, this might be on the exam later.
And I know of at least 2 judges on the D.C. Court of Appeals, we know them by name, who would say that someone who engaged in that kind of activity would not be immune. And they told the lawyers for Donald Trump earlier this week just that. Actually, even the 3rd judge as well. She was a little bit less clear, but very plain that the D.C. Court of Appeals is not going to accept this notion that when you become the president of the United States of America, somehow constitutionally, statutorily, or just somehow out there in the atmosphere generally, you become immune from criminal activity, for prosecution for criminal activity, and therefore cannot be brought into the federal or state courts for the things that you've done wrong. The Court of Appeals plainly going to hand Donald Trump a loss when it comes to that particular part of this prosecution.
The Dijon Sauer, on behalf of the defendant, seeking to claim immunity. What do you think of the legal pleadings of Dijon? I mean, this is a difficult position to argue that the president should have complete and utter immunity from all prosecution. What did you think about this legal theory that, well, he can be prosecuted, but only if convicted through impeachment first? And he says it's the clear, plain reading
of, I believe it was Article 2, Section 1 of the impeachment clause. But what was your thought, Counselor?
Again, for the second time in 2 weeks, I'm going to use the word ridiculous and absurd, frivolous, that sort of thing. And I think the judges felt the same, even if they didn't use those adjectives. Again, as you got it just right, Mike, what he's saying is that the only way that you can prosecute Donald Trump or any president or former is if that person's previously been impeached and convicted by the Senate. That's nowhere in the Constitution. This is made up. It's a nice try, but it's not going anywhere. And interestingly, I think it was Judge Pan who said, I've looked back at the transcript of the second impeachment hearing, which we covered, talked a lot about on this very program. And she recited the statements by Donald Trump's own attorney at that time, saying that you can't find him guilty in the Senate until you have convicted him in a federal court. And so just the opposite of what the attorney was arguing before the Court of Appeals, from what the attorneys for Donald Trump were arguing at the time of the impeachment. She called out that inconsistency. Just one more reason that they're going to dropkick quite dramatically, I believe, this silly notion that somehow he is immune. Send this back, hopefully not going to the Supreme Court. Send this back to Judge Shutkin so she can go ahead, reschedule.
Uh-oh.
This trial and get this thing underway.
Excellent. So I think you said that we should try to get this trial back underway. I am hoping from your lips to God's ears.
He's Jim. I'm frozen up here.
Well, we can still hear you, Jim. You're okay now. A concession was earned from the judge.
And Aaron,
well, now you are frozen.
I've got a bad connection, Aaron, and I'm going to call in to try to remedy that. How's that?
Sounds good. We will eagerly await your right, words so, on the phone.
Technical issues here. Of course, there's no power in Brookfield. We appreciate Jim going to jump on the phone with us.
Bottle of red, meantime, bottle of white, candlelight, right. Candlelight cannolis, man. Quite romantic.
I do got to. And Jim will join us in just a minute, but I also need to, and we talk about this thought that, you know, a president is immune, he could order SEAL Team 6, and Donald Trump was asked about this yesterday and didn't you know, push back on it. In fact, well, of course, in the way he didn't answer the question, but he said, well, president's got to have immunity, So he believes that. Of course, he has to believe that, because that's the only way that he can make his case. But I would also mention the one judge, the judge that was appointed by George H.W. Bush all those many years ago, presumably the conservative judge of the three-judge panel, and she said it was paradoxical to think that somehow, some way, president who was sworn to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the land could get away with breaking the laws of the land.
Jim, did you find that a little oxymoronic?
Absolutely. This is, again, at least the second, if not the third kind of thing that the judges identified. And, you know, when it comes to appellate arguments, when in front of the D.C. Circuit, the Seventh Circuit, where we are, any of these federal appeals courts, frankly, any state appeals court as well, the one thing you don't want to do is to be caught in an ironic argument, an inconsistent argument, an argument that frankly flies in the face of reason. That's what all of this is all about. And I would be interested to see, as we all will very shortly, how it is that the Court of Appeals resolves this. They can do this, Mike and Dom, they can do this in a one paragraph order, and they can cite the Nixon case from back in the late 1970s. They can articulate basic concepts from the Constitution, as we've already talked this afternoon, and they can put this concept to rest. Then the question comes, which I anticipate we want to discuss, what happens after that?
Right.
Jim, so what happens after that?
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, certainly no matter how this rolls out, if Trump loses, he'll want to appeal it. And if Smith loses, the special counsel, he'll want to appeal. But they can go to an en banc or directly to the Supreme Court. But neither of those cases, they don't have to be taken up, right?
That's correct. So a petition for an en banc, that is all the judges hearing it. That is sort of discretionary with the Court of Appeals. They can grant that or not. My guess is there that most of the judges on the D.C. circuit will also say, no, the three-judge panel got it just right. No reason for all of us to convene to do this. And then the question is whether the Supreme Court, the Supremes, the nine of them down the street there, frankly, just across the way there, will decide to hear this. And that, too, is discretionary. We've talked a lot about this. Will they do this granting of the writ of certiorari? My hope would be that the Supreme Court would do what an en banc panel would also do, which is to say, there's nothing to see here, nothing to review. Let's not extend this further. Let's not have more briefing. Let's not have more oral argument. Let's send this back and basically deny the request for further review. The effect of that by the Supreme Court would be, just as you implicitly indicated, Dom, the effect.
Oh, no. What's the effect, Jim?
Which is the Court of Appeals, right? And the Court of Appeals decision stands. Then it goes back down to Judge Chutkan, and she can continue. The other good thing about that would be, of course, that it saves time. An additional en banc review, an additional review by the Supreme Court for adding, even if they act very quickly, which they can and should, it's at least weeks before that happens. This could be resolved all next week if the judges of the D.C. Circuit and then the Supreme Court want to act quickly on this. We know they've done that in the past. They can do that again here and get this back to Judge Chutkan long before the end of this month.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel. Jim, let's turn to the closing statements of the Trump fraud trial in New York.
Yes.
And Ingeron, the judge there, apparently, and he's what, a Supreme Court judge, but that's actually the district court level. But my understanding is Ingeron allowed Trump to hang himself in a court of law, and it was a miserable affair, and Trump made a campaign speech, reportedly, Jim. What'd you hear?
Yes. So a couple of responses to that as well. This is the judge initially saying, no, 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 you're represented by counsel in this matter. And all of us lawyers have been in situations where we've got clients who want to speak, and the answer is no, you can't do that. You speak through your lawyer. If you decide that you want to speak, you can do that, but then that means you're representing yourself, and the lawyer is no longer a part of this process. Judge Ingeron initially said, I will let you bend that rule a little bit. If indeed you comment only on the facts, this is not a campaign speech, you do not attack anybody, any of the players in this lawsuit, in this prosecution and defense, no one gets under Donald Trump's ire in terms of name calling. None of that happens. We stick to the facts as we would in a regular statement. I was surprised to see that Judge Ingeron, after the defense initially declined that request and planned to go ahead just with the lawyer statements, that Judge Ingeron caved, if you will, to an additional request just for 3 minutes. The judge gave 5, and in the end, all of this went south.
Judge, I'm sorry, James Santel, we certainly have more questions. You think your tackle hold up, cell phones and the such? You got we'll more in you, Jim?
A couple cups and a string, Jim. Stick around with us, will you?
We will do just that.
All right.
More Devil's Advocates on the other side. It's Friday. We air grievances. We give you legal updates from only the finest of authorities. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He's the host of the morning Cannolis. But tonight we're doing it via the candlelight. Come on back. And it's a Friday happy hour. Glad you're a part.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM.
WRJN Hometown Radio Refreshed.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel on the line with us. He's the former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannoli right here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, thank you for sticking around. Let's jump right back into it, sir. The Fannie Willis case, the Georgia case, the Republicans, the right-wing media have been all over the DA Willis apparently had some sort of affair with one of the investigators or prosecutors, someone in the office. And for that reason and that reason alone, she should be thrown off the case or this case should disappear. My sense is, Jim, this was not one, but two grand juries that heard evidence to bring this case, that even if something did happen to Willis, this case would move forward. But I don't know, Jim, what do you think?
I think that's exactly right. And you focused on the basic predicates for how this gets into the court in the first place. You have this investigative grand jury, you have the indicting grand jury. And what that means is two groups of 26, even more than that, people reviewed all this evidence, said, yes, there's probable cause to believe that these counts in this very sweeping RICO indictment are supported by the law and by the facts. And so, as we have often said as prosecutors, we are a dime a dozen. The mere fact that a prosecutor is handling a case now does not mean that if he or she is no longer on the case, that the case somehow goes away and needs to be dismissed. That's a merits decision. That's a process decision inside the law that is not implicated by any relationship that she may have had. We don't know. Obviously, this motion now being filed, presumably going to be argued also in front of the judge. A question about whether or not it really is something that's properly before him. There really has to be something that a defense attorney can point to and say that relationship has somehow materially affected the substance of the prosecution against my client. Whether you've had a relationship or not with an investigator, with somebody who's now perhaps among the prosecution team here, that may be a matter for internal review and maybe even internal concern, maybe even public concern, but it doesn't go to the merits of the case. And that's the big takeaway. Anticipate the judge may raise an eyebrow or two, but in the end say there's nothing about this that warrants dismissal or certainly even some other remedial action against the prosecution team.
But Jim Santel, my understanding is Marjorie Taylor Greene has found a ally in Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and there might in fact be an investigation of Fannie Willis and the allegations against her and public hearings. Before there is a trial, they're going to put the prosecutor on trial. You sort of see where we're going with this, right, Jim?
Absolutely. And so this is where we are in America today. It has not been unknown in the past when I was prosecuting for 30 or so years. It wasn't uncommon. It was, frankly, a legitimate defense strategy by a defendant to basically put the government's case on trial, if you will, to allege that, say, the people involved in the investigation themselves had committed crimes or engaged in unconstitutional actions. That's not new. What this is taking that notion of a strong defense being a very, very aggressive offense, if you will. It takes it to a new level. And it basically places it at a political partisan plane that is simply intended to convince the public somehow that all of this is meritless. It should all go away. I regard this, even the hearings that may follow, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, putting together a complaint. She's a sitting congresswoman, and she is alleging misconduct by a state prosecutor from a state that she doesn't represent. It's absurd. We've seen that.
No, she's from Georgia. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a Georgia rep.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes, she is. You're right. Even so, this is not across jurisdictions. This is not the kind of thing that a congressperson should be doing. Nonetheless, we're going to go down this road and have these charades of hearings on this. Should not, cannot affect the substance of the prosecution going ahead, but simply indicates the level of aggressiveness with which all of these cases are being defended. You try every last thing, you file every single motion, you attack and attack and attack, and sometimes where there is merit to that, you may be effective. Here, you're not going to be effective in shutting down this prosecution.
James Intel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, host of the Morning Cannoli on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. Look him up. He's worth a listen. Jim, a outfit called Mediaite is reporting that Roger Stone was caught on tape making some very threatening statements before the January 6, 2020. And this reporting initially dropped, and Roger Stone, who is connected very closely to Donald Trump, and in fact, my understanding, there's some new reporting out that perhaps he personally benefited to the tune of millions of dollars on the January 6th, sort of the black money funding this thing. Above and beyond that, he was, pardoned by the former president, but he is caught on tape threatening the life of U.S. congresspeople. I believe it was Eric Swalwell specifically. And his plan was, let's go kill one and set an example. That'll, have them shaken in their boots, because they were going to look into why he was pardoned. They were going to look into Roger Stone. Jim, I don't know if you've seen the reporting, but new audio tape out today supports all of it. Roger Stone, of course, says it's all deepfake AI stuff.
Right. And so, yes, indeed, former president pardons him, but for discrete other offenses, this kind of activity, again, I have two reactions to it. It is just the latest way that we respond to legitimate government action, which is we threaten, right? We threaten Judge Engoron. We send a bomb threat to his home. We threaten Judge Chutnik. We threaten anybody who's involved in the judicial process, the investigative process. We threaten legislators. And that kind of thing is now so far beyond not just the pale, but it is also in the case of Roger Stone, when you are actually threatening the life and making those kinds of comments and threats against a sitting congressman, other people in government, that is also a federal crime. And yes, indeed, you look to the nature, the extent to which the previous pardon covers him. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at exactly the four corners of that. Highly unlikely that it does, but it's something to look at. This is, from my perspective, assuming, and it appears to be borne out by the tape, as you just indicated, Mike, appears to be a basis for a new prosecution of him. And it should be. This kind of thing, we know that, for example, when there was a threat against a sitting judge coming out of Texas, what did the Department of Justice do? They prosecuted that. Just because you're Roger Stone doesn't mean you don't get prosecuted for making the same kinds of threats. That should happen here, again, upon deliberation, upon review of this evidence by the federal government, by the Department of Justice.
Jim, I realize that the timing of the federal cases and the U.S. presidency and the election, while they could have impact, if Trump won re-election, he could set aside, he could pardon himself. There's lots of different shenanigans. I heard an opinion offered on MSNBC last night, though. Even the state prosecutions could end if he was elected president. Do you share that opinion, counselor, in 30 seconds or less?
Sure. There is a non-frivolous, non-ridiculous argument that goes this way. We've never had to face this before. Goes this way, that if indeed Fannie Willis, for example, is successful in pursuing her prosecution, getting conviction, she can't put him in jail, because to do so would be to usurp, as the state of Georgia, the prerogative of the entire nation in deciding to put Donald Trump back in the White House. You could incarcerate him presumably after his term, but there's a non-frivolous argument, constitutional argument, from some reasonable people that says that the state's prosecution could not basically overcome the decision.
Now you're harsh in my buzz, counselor. Thank you, James Santel.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
CBS News Brief. The South is a lot colder than it normally is. These folks in Memphis are preparing for the Arctic blast.
Got like some hummus and pretzel chips, but I did stock up on like milk, bread, the usuals.
My wife has sent me up here to insulate all of our vents into our basement. And I'm covering up all of my outdoor faucets.
The National Weather Service says the wind chill could hit 70 below in some parts of Montana and the Dakotas. It's going to be a challenge for supporters of Republican presidential candidates to get out and caucus for them in cold Iowa, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
It is the coldest Iowa caucus on record, and it's not even close. I think at caucus time, it'll feel actually closer to negative 25 or negative 30. You'll be having winds gusting into the 20s. Air temperature is well below zero.
The latest Iowa poll shows former President Trump with 48% support, followed by Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
WRJN. For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Keeping the power on is one of the biggest challenges in a big winter storm. 23,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin lost their electricity at one point Friday morning. The hardest hit area was Milwaukee County. Wisconsin lawmakers will likely take up tax cuts again. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says it would be hard to cut taxes without also cutting public services. Democrats say they'll prioritize working families.
People do want to have the services that are going to allow them and their families to live a good life in their communities. And they also want to feel like their tax burden is fair, right? And they see the benefit of that. So we try to balance all of those things.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
WRJN.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, wind chill advisory continues, a low of 11 below, and wind chills approaching 25 below. For Monday, still cold, a high near 0 degrees, and wind chills 20 to 30 below. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 2, high near 13 Wednesday. Right now, 4 degrees below.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show of Friday. Happier, happy hour. Thank you to our fine guest, James Santel. Always great to have Jim come round. He is a former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, and the host of a fine program in his own regard, Morning Cannoli. Tune in tomorrow morning, Saturday mornings, right here on the Civic Media, 9 to 11. If you miss him, you can hear the replay on Sunday morning. It's a double dip for you. Two cannolis. Although the plural of cannoli is cannoli, is my understanding. Very confusing. Yeah.
We'll figure it out one of these days.
The snow out the window here at the WMDX 92.7 FM studios, troubling my understanding. 4 or 5 more inches of snow coming tonight. And in the fact that we air the grievances on Friday, I got to tell you, one of my grievances, not so much the snow, is shoveling the snow.
And there will be. I thought you had your wife all hooked up to take care of that for you.
Well, I did. Yeah, and I actually played the My Sharona for her, although her name's not Sharona. But I did that as sort of a mnemonic device because her only ask, you know, this beautiful bride of mine who went out this morning and shoveled snow. Honey, bring home Corona. I got to bring her home some beer to get her through the night, as they say, right, Dom?
Did she request limes, or is that something you're going to like act on your own with?
That's a good reminder. Depends on if I hit the quick trip on the way back or if I go to one of the finer liquor establishments.
I get some limes, man. It's always a good bet.
So I'm just going to sing it in my head. You know, that song gets stuck in my head. My Corona, get Corona and limes. So I'm working for you, honey. Oh.
Or you could put in a reminder in your phone, have it go off in like 30 minutes, and you'd be all set.
Yeah, but that would take so much effort. You know, I barely got my computer plugged in time, Dom. But I do make a sincere grievance of the snow shoveling. And for those of you out there wondering, is there something bad about snow shoveling? Yes, you could die. I got a little bit of science to back that up, Dom. Washington Post, my source. Because this is sincerely one of my grievances. I'm not big on the snow shoveling. Snow shoveling can be dangerous. It can place stress on the heart and has been associated with increased cardiovascular events, particularly after heavy snowfalls, research shows, like what's out the window right now, Dom. One study showed from the 1990 to 2006, about 195,000 people in the United States were treated in emergency rooms for injuries and medical emergencies from the snow shoveling. About 6.7% were cardiac related, including all 1,647 deaths. So over what, 16 years, nobody killed themselves snow shoveling except from the heart attack. Although, you know, I think I could feasibly slip on the ice, crack my head and kill myself in the driveway. The dogs would come out and pee on me in the morning. Here is one quote, Dom. I just want to include this. This is from Barry Franklin, a spokesperson for the American Heart Association. Snow shoveling causes excessive demands on the heart while simultaneously compromising blood flow with the cold, which leads to heart attacks and sudden death every year. In my opinion, it's the single most dangerous activity people can do. Snow shoveling. Here, I thought it was riding to the store with Tom.
No, it's a snow shovel. Maybe you should get yourself a snow blower. 844-967-2789.
Why did I have children if not to shovel the said heavy snow in the driveway?
That's a great question.
I mean, they go to the gym, they work out, they're young and healthy.
Disciplined parenting that you perform. I'm sure if you just, you know, blow the proper whistle, they'll get out there and shovel immediately, right?
I haven't seen that. Come on, man. If they're
not doing it, I blame the parents.
That really is true. And then, I mean, where did we go wrong as parents? How is it that I, as a chubby, sedentary lifestyle, beyond middle-aged man, how is it that I or my beloved, and she's a little younger than I and a healthier woman, but still, why is it we expose our cardiac health each time we go out there and shovel? And I got two healthy kids sitting on the couch saying, when's dinner? What's for dinner? And yes. Could you empty the dishwasher? Because I don't have any cups to drink my, you know, chocolate milk and juice out of that mom and dad bring and put in the fridge for us. So I am a little concerned. The snow, I don't want to die from the snow or flying in an airplane and getting sucked out of a Boeing 737.
I would just suggest that they're following your example. Who taught you how to do this? I learned it by watching you, okay? Because you are able to convince your lovely to go out and shovel for you. So if you can do it and they don't, and you don't have to shovel, well, then you have led by example. You've showed them.
You have zero domestic skills. You do nothing in your household. Look at you telling me how I have failed. let me ask you this. When's the last time you cooked dinner? And I don't mean Lucky Charms.
I brought home some dinner the other night.
Some
dynamite from Brady Street. Really good stuff.
I didn't say when's the last time you bought dinner. I said when's the last time you cooked dinner. Because I'm domesticated. I help around the house, Dom. I don't see that same sort of activity from you.
Oh, well, Crudy, because you don't appreciate it and don't understand the dynamic.
Well, then you don't invite me around as much.
Well, here's the deal. Steffi cooks and I clean. That's
well,
the
that's
deal.
Domesticated.
That's how it works.
Yeah,
man.
I'll give you credit.
We dishwasher. Lean on our strengths. Yeah, I'm the dishwasher.
You
man.
Fill the dishwasher. I'm fine with it.
Well, I wash and the pots and the pans. I mean, she'll do a once over because she likes to keep the kitchen clean while she's cooking her fabulous meals. But yeah, man, I'm the cleanup crew, man, and I'm okay with that. It's been working for us pretty well. But come on, man, you got to get those kids working, Crudy.
What was the rule in college? And for those that don't know, Dom and I were college roommates at one of the finest alma mater ever, University of
Wisconsin-La Crosse, baby. Google it. You'll hear about the chancellor.
We had this half duplex, and we had girls next door to us, and there's stories there, but we won't tell those right now. But we lived six. Even one dude was married. One of the guy, Grumpy, across the hallway, Steve. He had already gotten married. His wife got a teaching job in Milwaukee, and he's still living with us, and he's married. So talk about being domesticated. But that was a relatively clean
school,
house.
Man. Well, but we had a list. We had an obligation, chores. Man. Sure, yes. We had. That's the only way to make that happen. You had a list, and certain days was a certain roommate was your job to clean. That's just how it was.
But if you didn't get your dishes done by 6 o'clock, if you were working late or goofing around, or if you were Joe chasing some co-ed brown campus, and oh man, people would be cooking 6-course meals and dumping the piling the dishes on top. Would they not, Salvia? Because meal
that would be.
You were sort of healthy then. You would eat like chicken breast, corn, and rice every meal, you and Joe. Unless someone missed their dishes duty. And then it's Sauvignon Blanc and let's make paella. I don't think you ever made paella.
We
not
had
being a
to,
cook yourself.
We had to take advantage of the opportunities that we had. And
I felt taken advantage of.
Well,
as a guy who had a job outside the home, if you know what I'm saying.
And, well, there were 4 bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs, and then the 2 bedrooms and a bathroom, living room, kitchen, dining room downstairs.
After Steve graduated and left home, I was the only resident of the lower level, and we threw parties every day, every night. There was people coming to the house. You know, we had a good reputation for... It wasn't the good weed, but just weed. Plentiful weed. Lots of joints.
But your bathroom, man. The downstairs bathroom was your bathroom. You had to clean that.
Dozens of people would use each week. Dozens. Friends, neighbors. You guys had college professors stopping by. Use the bathroom down here. 8-4-4.
Yeah, that was clean. Crudy just cleaned it.
Do we have snow duty? I don't remember shoveling snow, though, in college. Like, I mean, did we have to shovel our own?
No, we had a shovel. That. We had a shovel. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we never had snow in lacrosse. I don't recall lots of snow. No,
I'm pretty sure Danima got thrown out one time when it was snow.
Oh, yeah. We threw Dan away. Well, he looked like he was kind of green and might get sick, so Bobby just threw him in a snowbank. You wait out there. 844-967-2789. CJ, you shoveling tonight?
Hey, CJ.
And I don't mean facts about Joe Biden for a change. I mean, are you shoveling the snow?
Guys, no. I am enjoying the Florida weather. But I'm a snowbird. I thought we talked about that. But anyways, Cootie, I want to tell you I apologize because I'm glad you made it home from, where were you, Des Moines or?
Des Moines.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm glad
194 miles from Dubuque and then an hour and a half from there, but lots of cars in the ditch, hundreds or 69 on the way back, depending on which day you count.
Was that white knuckling for you?
I was on the way down. There was like 6 inches of snow on the interstate on the drive down. Once I got south of Cedar Rapids, man, it was rough for a bit. I'm courageous. That and I only kept one eye open, you know, just one eye open, just try to keep her between the lines. You know how it goes.
Well, I've been on the road most of my life. So, yeah, I can appreciate that. All the people be safe out there. You know, your guest that you had on prior, I hope he keeps advising because, wow, if he thinks everything is hunky-dory and they're going to eventually get Grandpa Joe out of the basement to not have to read a teleprompter, good luck with that one. He's in hiding right now, and he was on vacation only 140 days.
He was in Pennsylvania today, I believe. Bidenomics, the topic. I know you don't like the whole
Bidenomics. Come on, CJ. I mean, were you when Donald Trump was golfing all the time, man? So whatever, man.
Well,
what's your point?
You can do a lot of this. I agree. You can do a lot of this by phone. But can I state my grievance? Because yesterday when we talked, you said how happy I'd be that we finally striked on, you know, the Houthis. I've been scared of this. I'm terrified because this weak commander cut and run, I warned you it was going to happen. Here comes World War III because of this idiot in office.
No, and that's not exactly. I think that's a misnomer, and I don't want you to, you know, get people the wrong impression. Now, my understanding, the Houthis are very upset, and they want to, what, attack the ships or will do anything regarding Israel, right? They're the anti-Israeli, so that's their motivation on that, and that was all. That's between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Well, there are several countries. Then there's different backing our action.
Let's talk. Right, right. So now we have Saudi Arabia and Iran. So these are proxies between, you know, what, the Sunnis and the Shias. And let's get right down to it, CJ. This is about religion. It's always about religion. It's always going to be here. So what Joe Biden does or does not do, in some regards, will not matter to the sense that until we as a humanity get over fighting about the religion thing, we're going to continue down the spiral, dude. My own humble opinion on a Friday.
967-2789. Let's sneak at least one more in. Be patient, people. Dick from Madison, you're second in the queue. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick, what's happening?
Well, thank God he is in charge right now because I think he has kept that crazy man that's in charge of the Israeli country in check a little bit, but that's not where I'm going. What is this thing that nobody's covering the stuff of what Roger Stone said and what he said about what? But the media isn't. The rest of it, it's like it's a
non-story. What are we, chop liver here? Here's the problem, Dick. Up until now, this were just allegations made against Roger Stone by a group called Mediaite, and there wasn't the tape. The supporting tape had not been released. Well, guess what? We've got the tape. We'll play the tape. You got to stick around. We'll take more grievances, and we'll play Roger Stone threatening the life of a U.S. congressman. It's out there. If we put it out there, the media must follow. More Devil's Advocates.
talking sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? Created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Of course, stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show is coming up next.
Dom, do you know whose birthday it is today?
Only because you told me. Rush Limbaugh. That guy.
I recall the day Rush died and we had a broadcast. We obviously succeeded. We lived longer than Rush on the airwaves, Dom. But your attitude that day was, I'm glad he's dead. Something to that effect.
Something to that effect.
Well, Dom.
Yes, Curdy.
Well, I was going to pivot back to the media coverage because we got people hanging on. They want to hear the Roger Stone, but finish your thought first.
No,
if not polite, Dom. You know me.
No, man. I appreciate that. I characteristics believe I said all I had of Crudy. To say about that.
Let his wife shovel. Never offend anyone and always polite. Yeah. And humble. Humble. Throw that in there as character.
Wow, man. Well, it is a new 2024. You made it, 12 days so far, Crudy? Not bad. Let's hear it. Roger Stone, I don't know where this comes from. Crudy? But they did not, identify.
They didn't identify the source for the protection of the source, but Roger Stone probably knew who he said this to, but maybe there were multiple people in the room. Who knows? It's a little loud, so listen quiet.
Go find Swalwell and get this over with. It's time to do it. Then we'll see how brave the rest of them are. Either Swalwell or Nadler has to die before the election. They need to get the message. And just not putting up with this again.
Swalwell or Nadler has to die.
Nadler. Yeah.
Jerry Nadler. And they were the two actually that had planned on doing investigations into the pardoning of Roger Stone, ironically. And he had decided someone's got to die. And he's actually saying this to a New York PD officer who was acting in a private security capacity for Roger Stone. And this was recorded. And Roger Stone said, no such thing exists. I never threatened the life of Eric Swalwell or Jerry Nadler. And if you had it, why didn't you publish it? Well, today, Mediaite published it. So there you go, folks. I would say that is probably a credible threat and should be investigated and perhaps lead in, I would say, to some sort of criminal prosecution against the prior pardoned dirty trickster, Roger Stone.
844-967-2789. Let's get back to the lines on this Friday. Aaron the Grievances. Who's your Bob? Indiana. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Bob. We lost Bob. All right, Bob, give us a call back. Let's keep going down the lines. Ross from Crawford County, you're next. Happy Friday, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, happy Friday to you guys, too. You know, Rush, along with Trump, were both Vietnam draft dodgers. So, I mean, those guys are, we know who they are and what they stand for. My grievance is
is with the conservative callers to the show, and not because they're conservative. God bless the conservative. We know that half the country in a two-party system has conservative people. That's okay. But I'm trying to get them to up their game. So you had a previous caller. I don't want to name names. But, you know, trying to understand where these guys are coming from reminds me of, like, some 19th century, you know, gold guy heads out west to try to pan for gold. You know, 99% of the stuff that he's panning is just shite, you know, and then you might get a nugget of gold. And it just seems like this is the problem that we have, like, with these guys. Their arguments, they're not really arguments. They're just like these, they just sort of have these flight of ideas. Now all of a sudden, this guy is, like, totally concerned about the hoodies. You know, he's run out of other ideas, you know, and so it's like they just go and get these gotcha points. They call him with these gotcha points, and when you fact check them, there's nothing there. So I'm just asking these people, like, if you're going to call in, I mean, go ahead, spike the football, pretend like you already won the game or something like that. But really, for the rest of us, because the devil listeners, we're not dumb, we're not stupid. You know, just tell us where you're coming from and why you believe it.
So wouldn't it be nice, Ross, if they ever quoted a source that wasn't like Sean Hannity or, you know, or Clay and Buck or some right-wing talk outfit?
Their brains, exactly. It's like their brains, it's almost like it's just television, like, talking back at you, because there's no depth there. They're good for about one or two sentences on a subject, and then it's just all hot air, and then they move on to the next subject. There's nothing, they don't have any depth, they don't have any rationale behind their thinking. It's like, you know, you almost miss the old conservatives, the old Ryan conservatives, because at least those guys had kind of a thought process, kind of a philosophy, whatever the heck you want to call it.
But it was just greed, tax cuts and greed. You know, Ross, it's always been like this.
True.
What did they used to say on Rush Limbaugh's show? The hardest core mega dittos, Rush. You know, Rush did their thinking for them. They've just got a new messiah.
Exactly.
You know, now it's Clay and Buck or Dan Bongino or one of the ones here locally in the state of Wisconsin.
Come on, man. It's Donald Trump. Let's just say his name. Say it three times. Maybe he'll go away. It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trump. He is the Messiah. Like, literally, I've read lots of articles recently talking about how the evangelicals are, like, abandoned church and now are sucking up to the golden God that is Donald Trump. 844-967-2789. Try it again. Who's your Bob? You there?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good, Bob.
All right, man.
Snowy weather your way.
Yeah, matter of fact, that was my topic. I wanted to step back into your snow shoveling discussion.
Yes, sir. Do it.
I have not shoveled snow since 82.
Your neighbors must hate you, Bob.
Oh, no. There's the kicker. All of my neighbors were like, by whatever. They had to be 55 or above if they lived by me. So I was like, you know, hey.
Oh, hey, I got you. Pair the common area maintenance, some HOA fees then, Bob.
I went into my boss's office one day and I said, hey, if the snow is too deep for me to get out of my driveway and onto a clean highway, I'm not coming to work.
That's always Dom's attitude. Rain or shine. Now we'll see
what happens next week.
On the road Monday, going to Dubuque, Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024, it continues. And you're going with this time, buddy. Thank you to Chance Design Build, our fine sponsor. Thanks to our earlier guest, Alan Robinson from The Herbal Aspect, Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications, and our friend, the host of The Morning Cannoli, Jim Santel. So I hope that covers it. Maggie Dawn's show is next. It's going to be a rerun of the Pizza Box Mike. Have a great weekend. Go Packers!
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go. Go.
This
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Say it with me, the Boxy and Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
WRJN, your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.